Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning is Friends with God or with the World? Based on James chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. Do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend with the world makes himself an enemy with God. But God gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The story is told of a pastor, and by the way, I invite you to turn to the back of your handout and find your outline as we consider our theme, Friends with God or the World. The story is told of a pastor who was watching a TV program about a very friendly small church in a small community. And one scene in that TV movie really struck the pastor. At the beginning of that service, Sunday after Sunday, as the pastor was making the announcements, the people would turn to people in back of them and say, good morning, my name is Bob, I'm glad you're here this morning. The pastor was impressed by that because in his congregation they were having a challenge trying to make newcomers feel welcome. So he made a decision that the very next Sunday he was going to try that new tradition. So at the end of that particular Sunday service, he made an announcement. Starting next Sunday, as we begin the service, I'd like you to turn around and tell the person next to you, hello, my name is whatever your name is. I'm glad that you're here. We'll start that next Sunday. At the end of that same service, though, when the service was over and the final hymn was sung, a newcomer who sat right in the front, had never been there before, turned to the woman who sat behind him, a woman who'd been sitting in that same pew for probably 50 years. And he turned to shake her hand and said, hello, my name's Bob. I'm glad I'm here. What's your name? And she looked at him with utter shock and she said, I beg your pardon. That friendliness stuff doesn't start till next Sunday. That pastor of that church had a problem, as well as probably some of the members of that congregation. But the church that the Apostle James addresses in today's epistle reading for the sermon also had a problem. And the symptoms of that problem were things like this. We'll find them as we read our way through James 3 and 4. They were welcoming rich people into their congregation, while at the same time shunning people who were poor or who weren't dressed very nicely, demonstrating to them their kind really weren't welcome. They were bickering over their own many possessions and pleasures, while at the same time not wanting to feed the hungry or those who were in need. They were talking a good talk of faith on Sunday morning, by golly, but not walking the walk of faith Monday through Saturday. As you read between the lines of James' epistle in chapter 3 and 4, you can almost hear the people of that congregation say things like this. My wants come first. The heck with others. Take care of the poor and needy in the community. Don't even get me started about those kinds of people making their way into our worship service. And the way they're dressed, oh, and their noisy children, such a bother, the whole bunch of them. Now, these were just symptoms of the real problem. And James has a name for this problem. He calls it friendship with the world. The problem of God's people turning their back on the things of God and living like unbelievers all around them. In this epistle, James tells us of the origin of this problem of friendship with the world. He tells us this problem had a threefold origin, a threefold basis. Origin number one, he says in chapter 3, verse 15, "This is not the wisdom that comes from above. It is earthly, unspiritual, it is demonic." Did you hear? The so-called worldly wisdom of putting my wants above everything and everybody else, James says, comes from the devil. Origin number two, James says, is our own sinful flesh. In 4 verse 1, he says, what causes this? Is it not your passions that are at war within you? And Matthew puts it this way in chapter 15, "For out of our hearts come evil thoughts. This is what makes a person unclean." The devil, our sinful flesh. And James finally says, origin number three of this attitude is the unbelieving world all around us. He says in 4 verse 4, "Don't you know that friendship with the world makes you an enemy with God? To act like unbelievers, to adopt their priorities, to lay aside what we know God wants of us, as they abandon God's house and God's word," James says, "makes God's people an enemy of God." James calls us here to challenges us to consider what I believe to be the biggest challenge facing the modern church today. What I believe to be the biggest challenge facing our congregation today. The question is this: will I be a friend of God or a friend of the world? Ask yourself, where are my values and the values of my family being shaped? Did you hear the question? Or are we busy being concerned with other matters going on around us? Will I be a friend of God or a friend of the world? Where are the values of my family being shaped today? How and where are my children and grandchildren learning what's most important in life? How is my life and the choices I make any different than unbelievers around me? Is God's church, is God's word the biggest influence in my life, or just one of many influences from which I can choose? In the church of James, he describes four results of this friendship with the world. Listen to these four results. 3 verse 16. He speaks of disorder and every evil practice. A natural consequence of selling your soul to be a friend with the world instead of God, whether in the church or the home, James says, is every evil practice you can imagine, accompanied by disorder and confusion. Secondly, James says this leads to fighting and frustration. He says it this way in 4 verse 2, "Quarreling and fighting, desiring but not having, and coveting." When each one in a church or in a home is looking out for number one and really isn't concerned with the needs of others, then James says fighting, frustration, and lack of fulfillment are constant companions. Thirdly, James says that even noble and righteous activity like our prayers can be influenced. He says in 4 verse 3, "You ask and you don't receive because you ask wrongly only to spend it on your own passions." Being a friend with the world changes our prayers from listening to God as to what He would tell us, and changes our prayers into simply a checklist of my wants and my needs and my shopping lists. James says these prayers will go unanswered. He says, "You ask and ask, but you will not receive. Finally, James says, the result of this friendship with the world can lead to spiritual adultery. He says in 4 verse 4, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world makes you an enemy with God? Whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy with God. Did you hear it? James pulls no punches. He tells it as it is. He could be very well speaking to any Christian congregation today. He could be very well speaking to us today. So what is the solution to God's people being more influenced by the world than being an influence on the world? Well, I've got some good news for you today. Are you ready for some good news? I hope after this tongue-lashing James has given his church, you're ready for some good news. The cure or solution is not you being shamed or guilted into trying to shape up. When God's judgment is preached, it's not done to drive you to despair or to drive you to lean upon your own efforts. God's judgment is only preached to drive each of us, into the arms of our loving Savior. He alone is the solution to our problem of friendship with the world. You see, the Scripture tells us that Jesus Christ is God's grace in human flesh. God could have preached a sermon. He could have gave a message. Instead, He sent His Son. In the flesh and blood of Jesus, we see the grace of God. Jesus is God's grace, His unmerited, undeserved, unconditional love for sinners like you, and thank God for me. James says in his scripture, to sinners like us, God gives more grace. Listen to what he says in 4 verse 6. But God gives more grace. And he tells us in chapter 3, quote, but the wisdom from above is gentle and full of mercy. Grace is God's nature. Wisdom and mercy are God's nature. God is grace. God is wisdom. Thank God He is mercy. In the book of Proverbs, wisdom is portrayed as a person that's come down from heaven. And St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:24, quote, Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. And St. John tells us that grace and truth have come to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. He is our solution to our sin and our guilt. He brings forgiveness. My friends, through what Christ has done on the cross for you and me, He makes us friends with Almighty God. James tells us, God gives more grace. St. Paul tells us in Ephesians 2, by grace you have been saved through faith. It is a gift of God. James says to us, God gives more grace. What's the outcome of God giving that grace? Where did God's grace in human flesh end up? Look at that cross, won't you? Look at that one hanging upon the cross. That is where the grace of God ended up. The grace of God nailed to a cross for you and me. Jesus is the grace of God in human flesh who has come to pay for your sins, who has come to pay for mine. Jesus has come to make us friends with God. Because of Jesus, the Scripture says, we who are far off, We who in our sin deserve nothing but wrath. Because of him, God's grace in human flesh, he makes you a friend with Almighty God. And Scripture tells us, having peace with God frees us to be at peace with other people, frees us to be a friend with God and not by the priorities of this sinful world. At peace with God, we can be at peace with others. When I was a young pastor in southern Ohio, the question would be, how young were you? Well, 25, a lifetime ago. When I was a young pastor in southern Ohio, I heard a wonderful story about two families in the bordering state of Kentucky. This was in the early 1940s, and these families had been fighting, literally fighting and feuding for many years. And no one could even remember what started this horrible fight. Shots had been fired. Animals on the farm had been killed. A son in one of the families had been killed because of this feud. This son's brother, whose name was Bill, decided that he was going to even up the score. He was going to get his revenge on the other family. But Bill was called to serve in active duty as a soldier in Europe in World War II before he could get his revenge. While he was away, Bill's mother had a very difficult life, because her husband, Bill's father, had passed away, and now Mama had to feed this huge family, and it was a struggle. But one Sunday morning, the head of the other family happened to find himself in church and heard a sermon about the grace of God in Jesus Christ that makes us friends with Almighty God. And once we have peace with God, we can have peace with others. This changed his life. He was moved to make up for the many years of feuding and fighting between the families. So for the next 2 years, while Bill was away at war, this man hired a young boy from the community to deliver food, to bring food and leave it at this woman's doorstep week after week with no one knowing who did the deed. When Bill came home after the war, he learned about this from his mother. So he followed the young boy to figure out who the provider of the food was. And when he knocked on the door, both men were shocked. Suddenly, years of family fighting and hostility were ended. The feud was over. The grace of God in Jesus Christ brought the peace and forgiveness they could not find on their own for many years. Today, according to the words of James, we thank God that to sinners like us, he gives more grace. Today we thank God that in Jesus Christ our Lord, we have been made friends with Almighty God. Today we're reminded that friendship with the world is a dead-end street for our homes and for our churches. Today we thank God that he has called us to be his people. And though we are sinners, imagine this, he still loves us, and he will give us more grace. In the name of Jesus, who makes us friends with God, in Jesus' name, amen.